He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Thursday. It's the Thursday, December 28th. Stephen, there's one more trading day left in 2018 after today, and that's it.
That's
2017.
Right.
This is Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, where it's going to be 72 degrees today. We just checked the weather in Minneapolis. It's 4 degrees right now. Just checked the weather in Charleston. Pull up Green Bay while you're at it. Charleston, 39 degrees this morning.
-3 in Green Bay.
-3 in Green Bay. I feel bad. We're going to be 72 today. I need a light jacket today. Yeah. Well, you know what? Yesterday was a very quiet day in the market, which I'm glad. I was a little under the weather yesterday. But today, I feel great. I've got the Dow Jones Industrial Average right now up 34 points, but let's call it a quiet, very quiet day. You know, this week between Christmas and New Year's, always a quiet time in the market, although we did a lot of trading on Tuesday, and that'll show up in the newsletter this week. The Dow up 34, 24,809. The S&P up 79 cents to 26.83. The NASDAQ is up a point. Well, that's about the same degree. That's about the same temperature in Green Bay right now. Green Bay's down a point. Russell 2000, minus 58 cents. Very, very quiet day in the market, as I say. The crude oil is down 7 cents to 59.57. Pushing 60. I think we're going to see $60 a barrel on oil here before long. Gold is also pushing 1,300 again. I think it's going to be a good year for gold, 12.95. The euro's at 1.19. I think it's going to be another bad year for the U.S. dollar. We want to talk about the U.S. dollar today and the impact it's having on the sector rotation taking place. We had a big rally in the bond market yesterday. We're down to 2.42%. So welcome to the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour with professional money manager Bill Gunderson in the Carlsbad studios of Gunderson Capital Management. I'm here with Stephen Gunderson, where it will be 72 degrees today here in San Diego. We're the lucky ones, and I saw the negative numbers in Green Bay. I see the single-digit numbers in Minneapolis. There's frost on the pumpkin here as we face the last trading day of the year tomorrow. And then, of course, Monday is New Year's Day.
Yeah,
it's bowl game day. Football playoffs, right? College football playoffs?
That's right. I think that's when they start.
I'm pretty sure that's when they start. And we have the Dow making a fresh attempt at a new milestone during the last few days last year. You know what we were talking about last year at this time? Will the Dow hit 20,000?
20, yeah, that's right.
Okay. What are we talking about this year?
25.
Will the Dow hit 25? 5,000. So that is 1/4. That equals out to 25% difference in numbers that we're talking about in just a 1 year period of time. In the meantime, the economy is going to be very, very important to watch in 2018. We are in the later innings of an expansion, no question about it. I do believe that the tax cuts bought us more time in this expansion. Without the tax cuts, the economic expansion in the U.S. would have probably petered out because it's been living on monetary policy only. Okay, now we got that shot of fiscal policy that I have been telling you is so important, was so important to get done. It finally got done. It was not as big as I would have liked to have seen. But the key part of it was the lowering of the corporate tax rate, because that raises the earnings on Wall Street. And that also provides the fuel that the market badly needed to keep the expansion in earnings going on so that the market could continue to go higher. And now another shot that we still need is that infrastructure. That's a tough one. Where's the money going to come from for infrastructure spending? But I am watching and seeing the infrastructure stocks move higher right now because they know there's something coming. Well, meanwhile, as we watch the economy, this is where we have to be vigilant in 2018. Number one, the sector rotation that's taking place. Number two, the earnings estimates for these companies for 2018. And now we're looking to 2019 earnings estimates. And the U.S. economy, those are the three main issues that are at the top. They're on the front burner, in the front, that you need to watch. And I will keep you on top of those throughout the week in the radio show. And every Friday in the newsletter, all right? Well, we've got an economic piece of news today, and it's good. Jobless claims remain unchanged, 240,000. Actually, 245,000. Anything under 300 is good. We haven't had any change whatsoever in the jobless claims. That would be one of the shots fired across the bow eventually down the road, and it will happen. It's not a question of if it will happen. It's a question of when it will happen. But as of now, there is no sign of weakness in the jobs part of the U.S. economy. I'm glad to hear today that the power's back on at Disneyland.
Yeah.
How would you like to be the guy? Now, I was just at Disney World a week ago today, something like that. Somewhere in there, a week and a couple of days. A power outage lasted for several hours at Disneyland on Wednesday. Now, what if you were on the Matterhorn?
You know,
in Space Mountain?
Yeah.
I'm a guy that has claustrophobia to begin with. What if I was in It's a Small World? That happened to me once.
Yeah.
The boats came to a halt.
I did see that the backup generator came on, though, and they were able to listen to that song for a few hours.
Well, you know what? It wasn't so bad being trapped in It's a Small World in a boat with claustrophobia. But the worst part of it was hearing that song 27 times.
Yeah.
I still wake up with nightmares when I hear It's a Small World after all. Well, the popular park had the power down for several hours, an issue with a transformer that supplies power to Toontown and Fantasyland. You know, here's the other bad part. No cotton candy for 4 hours.
Yeah.
The cotton candy machines were down. The corn dog machines were down.
Those corn dogs. No churros.
You name it. Not a good day to be at Disneyland. The 85-acre theme park averages 44,000 visitors a day. So imagine Petco, our home of the Padres, which that's a sold-out game, isn't it? 44,000?
Yeah.
That usually happens when the Dodger comes in town, and half of the crowd is Dodger fans. Never mind that. But Disneyland averages 44,000, and this is one of the busiest weeks.
Yeah,
if they average 44,000.
Everyone's in town on vacation.
Sure. If they average 44,000, how many were there yesterday? 64,000.
They have a max. They probably got close to their max.
Probably. Do they have a max?
They do. They will shut people out. Yeah.
They do. They say we're closed?
Yep. My wife went there full? 1 year for New Year's Day.
Oh, well.
And they stopped letting people in after a certain time.
Wow.
She said it was the worst
Remind
day.
Remind me never to go on New Year's Day. Okay, here's what the bond bosses are saying. The guys that trade bonds for a living. Here's what BlackRock is saying, which manages $1.8 trillion. How would you like to have $1.8 trillion under management? That's only in fixed income. Now, BlackRock also manages stocks. But just the bond side of their portfolio, $1.8 trillion in fixed income assets. They advise caution. Caution is the word at BlackRock. They tell investors to move up in credit quality. In other words, avoid the junk. And they advise investors to move down in duration. Because the longer the term of the bond, the more sensitive it is to interest rates. So if you read between the lines, when BlackRock says that people need to lower the duration of their bonds, they're saying that interest rates are going higher.
Going to be a bad year for bonds.
Uh-huh. Where have we been hearing that now? I said it would be a bad year last year.
Someone's been saying that.
We had a very flat year on the bond market, and I'm saying negative returns. Now, BlackRock can't say that. That would be bad for business when you've got $1.8 trillion. You don't want a massive outflow, but they have said caution is the word. Greece is the word. The team has no overweight recommendations in the 2018 fixed income outlook. With inflation set to rise next year, this is BlackRock. Oh, when we come back, I got to talk about inflation. This is Bill Gunderson, Stephen Gunderson. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the second quarter of the Best Stocks Now radio show. As we went to break, we were talking about BlackRock and their outlook for the bond market. Now, they manage $1.8 trillion in fixed income assets, so they're going to paint as rosy of a picture as they can. And they're advising caution. The word they use in the bond market for 2018 is caution. How many firms like ours that manage money for folks are using the asset allocation strategy? I asked a colleague one time this question, and her answer was, I think probably about 75 to 80% of the wealth management, financial planning firms across America are using the asset allocation model, which basically says if you're 65 years old, you should have 65% of your assets in the bond market and 35% of your assets in the stock market. That's the basic formula. And you've got one of the biggest bond dealers in the world, manages $1.8 trillion in fixed income assets, saying caution is the word at BlackRock. Move up in duration, move up in credit quality, move down in duration. But here's another very key part of their statement, of their what they had to say yesterday. With inflation set to rise next year, TIPS, you know what a TIP is? It's a treasury protected against inflation. There's an ETF called TIP. Look it up, T-I-P. It has a bond yield of, it has a yield of 2.1%. That's about what you're going to get. And if interest rates were to move higher and inflation were to kick in, which are the expectations, which I've been warning about now for the last several weeks, that would be the best way to protect yourself. There is big interest right now in TIPS, which are protected inflation. That stands for Treasury Inflation Protected Securities. TIP, T-I-P, Treasury Inflation Protected Securities, okay? Now, what would cause inflation? Well, the biggest cause of inflation is when your dollar buys less. And if the dollar is going down in value, look up UUP right now, Stephen. Pull up the chart of UUP. That's the U.S. dollar. Mm-hmm. Is that an ugly chart?
It's very ugly.
Conversely, pull up UDN. That's the short the dollar. I would be short the U.S. dollar. That's been a good trade in 2000. It's been a very good trade because the U.S. dollar had its biggest slide last year, this year, 2017, since 2013. Okay? What causes inflation? A weaker dollar. That's basically at the core of it all, and I've been predicting a weaker dollar. Now, the good news is that there's a lot of sectors that do well with a weaker dollar. Commodities would be my first thought. And a lot of Chinese emerging market stocks, they also seem to do well on a weaker dollar. And there's other areas of the market. Companies that use commodities are not a good play because commodity prices look like they're going to rise in 2018 once again. Commodities had a pretty good year in 2017. I think they'll have even a better year. And if you look at my portfolios today, you will see that I have been adding commodity-related stocks to my portfolios here recently. Very important. Very important. And what else is a commodity? Gold is a commodity. That's why I see a pretty good year in 2018 for gold. Even though, look at our newsletter. What was gold up for the year? We track that every week in the newsletter. How the major
9%, I want to say.
Yeah, somewhere single digit returns on gold. And how about oil? Look those two up in the most recent newsletter. Okay, now let's get to some news and some other areas of the market that I continue to have a lot of interest in. We know that in the recent tax bill passed and now is law, signed by Donald Trump last week, it extended the electric vehicle benefit of $7,500, but it will be phased out at some point in time. Now, who's the biggest consumer of vehicles in the world right now? It's China. So even though this news kind of slips through the cracks and is down in the crevices where nobody's really reporting it, I am. China extends their tax rebate for electric vehicle car makers. That continues to be an area of the market that I like. What is it? What's the numbers for gold on our?
Gold is up 11% year to date, okay. And oil is up 8.5%.
Okay, so single digits basically. I predict double digit returns for gold, meaning anything above 10%. That's my prediction. And I think that I definitely have my antennas out for, I know who the leading gold stocks are. Usually a rising tide would lift all boats, but I wouldn't have an extreme exposure to gold. But there's other commodities. Do you know that coal is going crazy right now? Did you know that? The coal stocks are on fire right now. Coal prices are rising. I'll tell you what else to look at. Look at FCX, for example, Freeport-McMoRan, copper, gold, silver. Let's not forget that all-important molybdenum. I thought molybdenum was what they put in yogurt to keep it preserved. No, molybdenum makes aluminum, aluminium, as the British would say. Freeport-McMoRan's got the whole gamut of commodities covered, don't they? All right, I'll give you another example. Freeport-McMoRan, by the way, is headquartered in Phoenix, Arizona, where I noticed it was 41 degrees in Phoenix this morning.
Gosh, look at that chart the last 2 weeks.
Yes. And even for the year, look, since the beginning of the year. But it had really took off in July when they started talking about the tax cuts seriously. Because the tax cuts are going to add to the deficit, which makes your dollar weaker. And a weaker dollar spells higher commodity prices. Now let's take a look at another one. Let's take a look at... oh, gosh, what's the symbol? Is it, let's just take a look at a, I'm thinking SCCO. That's it, SCCO. Let's do that one. That's a good example. Look at that chart.
Southern Copper.
Does that chart look like Amazon did?
Yeah, it does.
It does. Okay, where is Southern Copper Corp headquartered? Phoenix, Arizona.
It's not the next Amazon.
Why is Phoenix the mining headquarters of the world? Southern Copper is engaged in the mining of copper and operates mining, smelting, and refining facilities in Peru and Mexico. Okay, well, I guess they don't want to be headquartered in Peru because this used to be Southern Peru Copper Company. Okay, I remember one other one that I wanted to mention here, BHP. BHP is one of the largest mining companies in the world. If you pull up my book... BHP's in there. I'm almost 99% sure because I contacted the CEO of BHP in Australia, asked him if he wanted to be on my radio show.
There it is.
What was the price of BHP at that time?
$92.
Well, it split a couple times the way. Actually, no, it's gone down. It's been cut in half. That was a bad pick. But right now, the stock is exploding. We'll be right back. And welcome back here to the second half of the Best Docs Now Radio Hour. Steven has some breaking news from Aflac.
Yep.
Is that the duck?
Aflac, yeah.
Aflac.
I had that little stuffed animal that they sent me. What happened to that thing? Did Gwynny have it?
Yeah. They're opening their wallet after the tax reform went through. Effective next year, the company is going to lift their 401k match from 50% to 100% on the first 4% of employee contributions.
That's pretty big.
And they're also going to make a one-time $500 contribution to every worker's plan.
Hey.
And they're also going to offer certain hospital and accident insurance products to all employees free of charge.
Okay.
And they also expect to boost overall investment in the U.S. by about $250 million over the next 3 to 5 years.
Because the argument that we're hearing from Schumer and Pelosi is that it benefits the top 1%, the tax cuts.
Right.
Well, do the top 1% work at Aflac?
Yeah, I mean, a couple of them, sure.
Yeah, maybe the CEO, yeah. But this is benefiting
you get a smart
all
CEO,
the employees.
Then he's going to use that money to benefit his
sure,
company.
Sure, and this came on the heels of four companies last week. This that we know about. We don't know what little businesses are doing and whatnot. But
yeah, did you see the newest thing that's going? You remember AT&T announced that they were going to give everyone a $1,000 bonus, 200,000 employees?
Yes.
Well, it just came out last night that they're laying off like 1,000 workers.
Oh, okay.
And it was big news because everyone said, see, they're not thinking about the
yeah.
work. But they were laying off 1,000 people who worked for their landline division.
Yeah. So how many landlines do we have here at Gunderson?
I don't have a landline.
Yeah. We don't have a landline
so
at home.
So people are trying to rip them for supporting it. And
well,
then,
that's business. Yeah. You know, that's separate. All right. Well, we
their
have
legacy communications. Yeah. Where they laid off 1,000 people.
We have a couple of big winners today here. I was just telling, we were just looking at our accounts here during the break. They're doing okay today. We're having an up day so far. And the two stocks driving our big day so far are Netflix. I don't know what's going on there. There's something going on at Netflix today because we have a big gain in Netflix. That's a nice little, that's a good chart, actually. But the second one that catches my eye here is Geely Automotive. Yeah. See the big day Geely's having?
I did.
There is news on Geely here today that Zhejiang Geely, the Chinese owner of Volvo, is to become the biggest shareholder of Volvo, paying 3.25 billion euros for a major stake in the truck maker. Now, read between the lines. What did Volvo announce recently about future car production?
Going electric.
All electric. Who just announced, to much fanfare, an electric truck?
Our friend, Elon Musk.
Correct.
He's going to take on the Ford F-150s.
And why do you think Geely would be buying a majority stake in Volvo's truck maker? Do you think they're going to be diesel engines?
Nope.
Do you think they're going to be unleaded gasoline engines? Do you think they're going to be electric? We continue to own a position in Geely Automotive, the biggest car maker in China, which also owns a majority stake in Volvo, which is going all electric. And by the way, China just renewed their electric vehicle. What do we want to call that? Their electric vehicle rebate, I guess you would call it. You know, some kind of a benefit that one gets for buying an electric vehicle. Oh, a tax rebate. That's exactly the word. They extended their tax rebate. So we continue to own Geely Automotive in two of our growth accounts. Okay, now another subject I want to switch to here now. We'll switch away from our biggest winner, Geely Automotive and Aflac. I want to take a look at the emerging markets. Okay, emerging markets are often first to crack as Fed tightening cycles gain steam. Okay, we need to keep our eye on the emerging markets as the Fed cycle gains steam. But here's the rub here that I see what's wrong with this article, okay? Oh, and then I want to come back to BHP Billiton. Remind me after this. I want to go back to Australia after this, down right. under. Many of the emerging market countries, what is their number one product? Commodities. Look at Latin America, all right? the commodity inflation increases the price of commodities. If commodity prices are rising and your major export is commodities, think Latin America, for instance, that's a good thing, despite our Fed tightening. So as the emerging markets have definitely flattened out as our Fed has been tightening here, there's certain areas of the emerging markets, think Latin America again, that could really be good place to be in 2018 because they're commodity movers. Who was the number one ETF? What was the number one Latin American ETF in 2017? Argentina.
I was going to say India.
No, in Latin America.
Oh, in Latin America. Oh, okay.
Yeah, India had a good year. China had a good year. But I'm saying to move your focus to Latin America in 2018 because they're a big commodity producer. And I want to come back to BHP Billiton. Remind me, okay? Because I want to compare it with a treasury inflation-protected security.
Gotcha.
Argentina was up 54% in 2017. Argentina has a version of Donald Trump running their country now. Macri.
Does he have a Twitter account?
Well, you know what? Check it. See if it's in Spanish. I don't know if he tweets every day. Chile was second with a 38% gain. Chile is a big commodity. Who's the biggest producer of lithium in the world? Chile. Peru, number three. We own Southern Copper Company in Peru, up 23.5%. Okay. Brazil was number four. They're not a big commodity producer in Brazil, 21%. And the place I would avoid in South America, Mexico. With NAFTA being renegotiated, they've got a growing political scandal in Mexico, and the peso is getting crushed. Mexico up 10% in 2017. So,
you mean not Venezuela?
Yeah, Venezuela, their stock market is owned by, what's his name? Not Chavez, but the
Petro.
Guy that took over. He created a cryptocurrency, don't forget.
Yeah, I want to say PetroCoin, because that's what they named his.
Yeah, the PetroCoin. How's that thing doing, by
Nicolas
the way?
Nicolas Maduro.
Yeah, Maduro. Yeah. Okay, where the people are starving. Where socialism. Someday I'll tell you my socialism story with South Carolina. We ran into the only socialist in Charleston. He said, what do you do for a living? He says, I'm a socialist. I said, okay, whatever. All right, let's go back to Australia.
How's that your living?
That's his living. He parks cars, but he's a socialist.
Oh, okay.
Okay. All right, he's fighting for change in Charleston. Let's go back to Australia, can we? I want to go back to BHP Billiton. Okay. Let me read what they do for a living. It's an Australian company. My father had a great love for Australia while he was on his submarine in World War II, which I can't even imagine. Perth was one of their homes that they would berth in to have some shore time, and they would go out and maybe I've got a half-brother, half-sister running around down there in Australia. I don't know. Someone said that to me once, but I guess the Navy guys went ashore, and the Australians were very kind and nice to our soldiers down there. I remember my father in the refrigerator. This is really a weird story, but, you know, like I'm 14 years old, and there's been this bottle of beer in our refrigerator. It's brown. You can't see into it, and it's all rusty. And I said, Mom, why is that in our refrigerator? My dad brought that back in World War II, a bottle of beer from Australia, as a memento, as a souvenir, as a keepsake. I don't know what happened to it. Maybe it exploded one day, but it was there. But BHP Billiton, headquartered in Australia, does mining of metallurgical and energy coal. The coal stocks are on fire. They also do iron ore. Oh, they also do oil. They also do gas. They also do manganese. In other words, this is a well-diversified commodity company.
And it's now, big.
Well, $123 billion in market capitalization.
Yeah.
Now, just off the top of my head, the encyclopedia of stocks is in Bill Gunderson's brain. You can ask me almost any question, any stock, anywhere in the world, almost. and I'll have an answer for you. Just give me the symbol, and I'll let it run around in my brain a little bit, and bang, there it is. If you call your Morgan Stanley guy, he's going to say, well, let me look it up. I've never heard of that one before. Anyways, when we come back, I want to compare owning the stock of BHP Billiton and the dividend yield you would receive and the upside potential you would have versus owning a Treasury Inflation Protected Security, otherwise known as a DIP. What's the better buy? We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the final quarter of this second to last trading day of 2017. It's the Best Stocks Now radio hour. There has been massive rotation taking place in the market. I've been pointing it out in the newsletter. You've seen it in the live trades that I'm sending out. We've been massively rotating our own portfolios because what worked in 2017 was fine and good. It helped. We had a great year in 2017, but we're repositioning for 2018 because circumstances are changing very, very quickly. Inflation is coming back into the picture. The dollar is weakening. We got the tax cuts that the market was looking for, and now we can't be trading on that anymore. The sectors of the market that benefit most from the tax cuts are now taking off because those tax cuts are a real deal. And areas of the market that have not done well in a long time are now becoming leaders of the market, while other areas that were leaders are becoming laggards. That's why it's so important to stay on top of sector rotation, asset class rotation, index rotation, country rotation. That's why I have a little niche here. I'm in one of the active managers out there. Maybe there's 20-25% of my industry that still believes in active management. I'm not a passive manager. I don't buy into the asset allocation formula. Okay, I know. I had a couple more. I don't think we're even... Let's just do a quick Bitcoin update before I get... I want to go back to BHP Billiton here for a minute and compare it with a tip, a Treasury Inflation Protected Security. There's news in two areas here. I'm going to have to get to the marijuana news tomorrow because we did discover that there is an ETF coming out.
Yep.
It currently is trading, but it's a different animal.
Well, it's not trading anymore.
Yeah, they pulled it off, but yeah. But we see it still on our Scott Trade system.
It was
system.
A Latin America real estate ETF.
Exactly. They're going to keep the symbol.
Yeah.
But it's going to be, somebody finally got approval for a marijuana ETF.
It's going to be the Alternative Agroscience ETF.
Okay, all right. The symbol's going to be high, H-I-G-H, or...
Still L-A-R-E,
weed,
I guess, right?
Stone, I don't know. But that's all I can tell you is we are aggressively, they're showing up in my app. I looked at a couple stocks the other day, they were A-plus momentum grades. I said, what's going on here? I looked those stocks up. I'd never heard of them. They were weird symbols. They had something in common. Both of them were Canadian medical marijuana stocks. We bought two this week.
Medical
these
or just in general?
They call
it
medical.
To be medical anymore.
I think if they call it medical, that somehow makes it okay. I don't know the deal there. But these are, one was a $3 billion company.
And the other was a $2
billion. Yeah. And they're the two biggest holdings in this new ETF. They will be, correct?
Yep.
I think there's going to be a lot of money flowing into that ETF. Am I wrong about that? Marijuana be the Bitcoin of 2018?
I mean, it's going to be legal in California starting in a couple
of
weeks.
Well, and the rumor is that the Trudeau, the Premier of Canada, who's a young guy and very liberal, is going to... Okay, legalize it throughout the entire country of Canada, not just like Colorado.
I can see that, yeah.
Not just California, but all of Canada. So a Canadian medical marijuana stock, if you get the newsletter this week, you'll see the two stocks we bought in the speculative portfolio.
Very speculative.
Very speculative. Okay, Bitcoin update.
Yeah.
How's GBTC looking today?
I haven't checked GBTC. I did. I'm looking at the actual cryptos, and they're not doing well today.
No. GBTC is down to $2,000 a share after hitting recently, let's see, the high was 3,500. So, you know, you're still down from 3,500 down to 2,000. You've lost 45% of your value. And right about the time I called the top in the Bitcoin market, now you've got South Korea cracking down on Bitcoin. Okay, so there's your marijuana news. There's your Bitcoin news, all right? Now, let's switch over to something a little more tangible in BHP Billiton, which is the largest mining company, I think by market cap, and it's, by the way, breaking out to new all-time highs today, isn't it? Okay, it has a dividend yield of 3.6%. Let's compare that to the dividend. What was the dividend of TIP, T-I-P?
It was 2.1.
So I can get 2.1 in TIP with very little upside potential, yeah, if any.
Look, if you look at the chart, it's just sideways for the last 10 years.
Yeah.
So you're just getting basically the 2.1%.
Now, if inflation goes to 6 or 7% this year, you're going to make a lot of money in TIP. That's not going to happen. Inflation is creeping higher. It's not jolting higher. But in the meantime, you can make 3.6% on BHP Billiton with the chance of capital appreciation coming from a weaker dollar caused by inflation. Take your pick. You know what accounts should really be growing? People should be pouring money. Our income portfolio up 16%, 17%. Yep. In 2000. The bond market was up 1.8% or something like that. You want to get income from treasuries and bonds? I say phooey. Invest in a portfolio of stocks that pay dividends that benefit from inflation and a rising dollar. Not a rising dollar, a falling dollar. You know what? All these inverse relationships.
Yeah.
Sometimes we get a little upside down on our inverses, or we get inverse on our upside downs, and you get all dizzy. Well, anyways, we covered a lot of ground here. We've got one more show to do in 2018. Listen, if you're in an asset allocation portfolio and they're buying more bonds for you right now, and one of the biggest bond dealers in America is advising caution in the bond market, I advised caution 12 months ago, and the bond market was up about 1% this year. I'm advising extreme caution. I don't advise caution. I advise stay away. Create a no-bond portfolio. We have no bonds here at Gunderson Capital, man. It's not the place to be as we get ready to turn the page on another year and enter into 2018. Give us a call at 855-611-BEST. Talk to us about an income portfolio. Look, if you had 100 grand last year, I can't guarantee future performance. You'd have 116 grand. You'd have been making $1,400 a month off your 100 grand. No guarantees going forward, but you can reach us. Take a look at our newsletter this week. Go to GundersonCapital.com. Stay warm. Have a great day.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based, registered investment advisor. All accounts are held at Scottrade. Scottrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.